This is John Davison, and you're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 36 of the Yes Music Podcast, one fan's exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrein. Please remember how you can get involved with the podcast via the site www.yesmusicpodcast.com, where you can subscribe through RSS, via iTunes, via email to the blog post and episode updates. You can read and then comment on show notes or blog posts. You can follow the show on Twitter, at Yes Music Podcast. You can send an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com. You can upload a file via the link on the right-hand side of the website, or leave a voicemail message and appear on the show yourself in two ways by calling 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417, or by recording a voice message straight onto the website using the record a message button on the extreme right-hand side. If you have a smartphone, you can also download for free the Stitcher.com app and listen that way. Stay tuned at the end of this week's episode for more details on how you can take part in the first Yes Music Podcast quiz. This week, at AZGizmo contacted me via Twitter to point out yet another error I have made. He says, "Listening to podcast regarding Yes Songs Part 2. The performance of Roundabout is not the first tour where it was performed. That recording of Roundabout was taken from the tour supporting Close to the Edge. The band did a tour supporting the album Fragile. The fact that it was determined to be Close to the Edge tour is because the drumming was done by Alan White. This means that the Yes fans were probably aware of Roundabout as part of the Yes catalogue. It's a good point and well made, so my apologies. If you have any Yes historic questions, why not look up at AZGizmo on Twitter? He is a mine of information and a really great guy as well. This week I've decided to take a look at a rather obscure CD set I have in my collection. It's a limited edition of Magnification, which was released in 2002. Besides having an odd translucent purple case and a unique number printed on the front, mine is number 05798, the package has an additional CD, which also functions as a CD-ROM. Back in 2002, when the package was released, this was the height of modernity. It seems very retro now. Anyway, there is a fascinating mix of content on the bonus CD, live tracks and two videos from very different eras of the band's history, plus a video interview with John Anderson. The live tracks are taken from the Symphonic Live DVD and feature the band of the time, John Anderson, Steve Howe, Chris Squire and Alan White, augmented by Tom Brislin on keyboards and the European Festival Orchestra, conducted by Wilhelm Keitel. I had the good fortune of being able to attend the Birmingham concert in the Symphonic Tour, and I must say I really enjoyed it. I suppose in hindsight I might have preferred to see a real Yes concert with a real keyboard player, but the way in which the orchestra was integrated worked really well for me, and the players were clearly enjoying the experience. Maybe it was an advantage that they seemed to be a young group, maybe a more established orchestra for whom this was a session gig alongside the proper concerts might have reacted differently. I don't mean to diminish this ensemble at all. The playing was all great, and the fact that some of the string players could be seen clapping along and physically moving to the music during the passages they didn't play in was a joy to behold. I think the quality of the orchestral arrangement also helped. This is at times in stark contrast to the arrangements on the Symphonic Music of Yes album. Obviously, the tracks from Magnification itself already had orchestral arrangements, so maybe it's even more interesting to see how orchestra is used to replace the keyboards in tracks from the rest of the band's live repertoire. I can't seem to find out who was responsible for adding to the original tracks, but I'm sure someone out there can help. Was it one of the three arrangers credited on the Magnification album itself? The first one on the additional disc is deeper from In the Presence Of. One thing which is very obvious straight away is the quality of the recording and mixing. If only Yes songs could have been treated like this. From the opening full mellow sound of the piano through Anderson's complex and beautiful voice to the perfectly balanced Squire bass which climbs and intertwines itself in the midst of the mix, everything is in sparkling high-definition glory. And it doesn't stop there. The Yes choir enter, then the orchestra, Alan White and Steve Howe's guitar. For me, this is one of the most successful parts of the album, and in this live performance it doesn't disappoint. The mood of laid-back peace and beauty is brilliantly transferred to the live setting. The changes of tempo segue smoothly and effectively. In common with the studio album, it could be argued that Howe is ridiculously low in the mix, and very underused, but his soloing here, at least, is audible, and of course performed with poise and precision. The section which begins, "I get amazed like a true beginner," is very effective indeed. The contrast between voices and then stabs of full and sonorous orchestral chords is remarkable, and you can imagine it filling the whole concert hall. While not a huge orchestra, the production, which I also remember live, makes the most of the forces with a great depth and complexity of sound. Quiet passages also work well. I'm delighted and surprised that Alan White's parts don't sound contrived at all, unlike that awful Classics plus drum kit mashup, which is mistakenly opted for by lazy arrangers and classical musicians who think crossover means playing the same music in the same way with a bit of a drum kit thrown on top. The Standing on Sacred Ground section is moving and immersive, with pizzicato strings colouring the texture in a great offbeat rhythmical feature, and Howe's slide guitar soars beautifully to remind us that this really is Yes. It's 11 minutes and 18 seconds of musical bliss, superbly performed and brilliantly recorded. I must admit to a feeling of unease when I saw Gates of Delirium on the running order. At least they didn't attempt Sound Chaser, but how could Patrick Mraz's parts be replicated, even by a whole orchestra? Well, the answer is partly they didn't try. Tom Brislin adds some keyboard, and the orchestra is also integrated into the texture. In fact, the opening is startlingly similar to the studio recording, and if you listen carefully you realise how much of the sound, contrary to my previous opinion, is actually created by a combination of bass guitar harmonics, various percussion instruments, harp and guitar. Yes, of course, there are plenty of keyboard effects and parts in there, but it's a far more complicated picture than I had imagined. Strings add real warmth to the sound, as do the brass additions to the big chords, and it's a marvel to behold how well the rock and orchestral players stay together. There are moments when the orchestration threatens to topple over the edge, into at the very least self-parody, but the sections are short and there's not really time for an MOR feel to establish itself. Brislin does a very creditable job of adding the essential Mraz keyboard lines in very authentic-sounding voices, and the rockier parts benefit from the expected Squire thunderous bass lines, and Anderson clearly really enjoying the melee with slightly altered and spiced-up vocal lines. Howe gets ample opportunity to solo, which he does faultlessly and with very direct passion. Everything about the performance and recording bursts from the speakers with real power and strength. After about 8 minutes in the keyboard and guitar solo sparring, Brislin is again exemplary in his approach. He follows the original parts appropriately without drifting into carbon copy imitation. He adds just enough of his own interpretation to keep the music fresh and alive. In fact, this passage is very exciting, as it buzzes along with great energy from all musicians. Sit back and enjoy it, particularly Squire's mesmerising bass line. It's a real headphones and eyes closed treat. Brislin plays around a lot with the pitch wheel at one stage, which is fun to hear. Again, I find it incomprehensible how the band members can remember this stuff. It's so complicated and lengthy. Around 13 minutes, the deliberately chaotic maelstrom is effective, with the addition of orchestral parts and the huge theme which emerges sounds great in unison on strings and other instruments. Howe takes it over on pedal steel, perhaps not quite as high in the mix as he should be, but still soaring in assured and dramatic fashion. The music ebbs and flows beautifully along towards the inevitable appearance of the soon melodic material. It's good to hear a ripple of applause when Howe begins the theme. The harp is great here. I assume it's orchestral harp rather than Anderson, as he seems to have picked up a guitar to accompany himself. Solo violin, or perhaps more strings, are mixed in, providing extra texture and supporting the other musicians, and filling the sound out in tasteful fashion. This is another point at which it would have been easy to make the music sound contrived, but with an appropriate arrangement, there's happily no sense of that. Rather than listening out for inadequacies, I find myself just enjoying the wonderful soundscape, and that's a real achievement, which I imagine the band members also appreciated as well. I find this performance easily as fulfilling as a symphony by one of the great composers. This is why Yes music should be taken seriously by all music lovers. The depth, integrity, and scope of this artistic endeavour makes it a towering testament to what progressive rock offers to the world, and a reason why it has endured, where other forms have fallen by the wayside into obscurity. The third live track is Magnification. Anderson introduces the song in typically humorous style, and then the orchestra and band begin. Once again, it's clear the orchestration has been added by a master. It is properly and fully integrated, as an additional instrument, not bolted on at all, and this means the live recording is a pleasure to listen to. Chris Squire's line sounds like a fretless bass at times. I'm sure someone like our friend and bass guru, Joost Maglev, can confirm or deny this. Anderson, pre-respiratory problems, leads the way in a strong and insistent style, his vocals prominently and appropriately mixed above the elaborate and pleasing texture. I know Steve Howe felt that he was sidelined in this album because of the orchestra, but here his parts are essential and part of the wonderful concoction of sound. I love his more obvious prominent role elsewhere, but this is also great playing. As I've said before, I don't agree with the commentators who say that there's no real progressive aspect to that magnification, that it's just pop. There's certainly a catchy tune, and there's little in the way of odd time signatures or epic structure and scale, but there are still segments of varied length and feel, an overall soundscape which is a world away from the formulaic banality of most pop, and a fabulous use of orchestral timbres and colours. So I think it's certainly progressive pop, at the very least. In the same way as 90125 was written for stadium venues, Magnification sounds like it was written to be performed by band and orchestra live. There are no studio effects or tricks, the pitch range is well within the compass of Anderson's voice, and the whole thing sounds like a glorious, heady mix of pure, uplifting joy. I can't resist tapping my foot in the chorus, sitting back and letting the music spiral round and round my head. There's so much to enjoy. Listen out for Squire's restrained but still creative and wide-ranging bass line, for example. The track draws to a close after the deliberate chaos of the final sequence. Confusingly, there are still 3 minutes to go in the track, according to the timer, but the rest of the track turns out to be blank, which is a bit odd. That's the end of the CD, but there are still 3 more bonus items on the CD-ROM part of the disc. The first item is a short video interview with John Anderson. He talks about the excitement of being on tour with an orchestra. He mentions that the band played live with an orchestra 30 years previously, which I think was the performance at the Queen Elizabeth Hall in 1970, which featured some of the Time and a Word album before it was released. I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong. Anderson says that when the band go on stage, it always tries to sound like an orchestra, which is why they had Rick Wakeman playing lots of different keyboards. To be honest, I think this is a convenient piece of spin by Mr. Anderson to support the lack of a keyboard player on the symphonic tour. I think he is clearly excited about having the orchestra and wants to make the very best of it, but I imagine what the band's history would have been like if they had always managed to use an orchestra rather than having a proper keyboard player. I don't blame John for this massaging of the facts, and the concerts themselves, as I have said, were great, but it's not really fair to reduce the keyboard role in the band to simply filling in for the orchestra they couldn't afford. Anderson makes the point that it was great to be able to add orchestrations to some of the old Yes classics, as well as Larry Groupe's additions to the Magnification songs, and this has certainly been successful with Gates of Delirium, as mentioned earlier. The next of the so-called enhanced content, which is accessed via a rudimentary contents page, is labelled Don't Go, brackets, single video. Don't Go doesn't appear to have been released as a single, so it's interesting to see this video here. Being an enhanced CD rather than a DVD, the video player is a tiny rectangle towards the upper left-hand side, with a still image covering the rest of the computer screen, unless you opt to zoom in, which destroys the quality. It starts with an animation of the spinning globes from the Magnification cover art. I've always thought the artwork for Magnification was brilliant, and this animation makes it come alive in an even more intriguing way. It's a kind of blend of Terminator-era technology with some mystical elements. Segments of this animation appear throughout the presentation. The video itself, when it gets going, is very odd. The footage at the beginning is of a live performance of Don't Go, while the soundtrack is the studio version. More animation is integrated as the chorus plays, and it's very effective again. While the less effective for me is the subsequent inclusion of live concert footage from all sorts of different tracks and situations. So we have Steve Howe playing his guitar over his head, Chris Squire's usual extravagant gestures, and various shots of the conductor and orchestra. It's a fascinating montage of the band in action, but I prefer to have one thing or the other, not a mix of live footage of this song and then completely random content. We eventually return to pictures of the track, and it makes a bit more sense towards the fade-out. Finally, we get an extract from the DVD, and the same track as in the audio portion of the disc, Gates of Delirium again, which we are forced to view in the tiny video player to avoid pixelation. Even at this small size, it's a great production, and a very good advert for the DVD, which I imagine was the idea of including it here. Played before a packed house, you really get a great view of the concert from this very high-quality film. There are lots of camera angles, flying and zooming around. As I mentioned earlier, the sound is also superb. World War I footage and animation is mixed in, but the best aspect is being able to see the musicians clearly having an absolute ball, including Tom Brislin, maybe the best keyboard player never to be a member of the band. He leaps around the fairly minimalist keyboard setup compared with Wakeman or Down's outfit, and indulges in outlandish and exaggerated swoops onto the keys from a great height when the music suggests it. It's fantastic to be able to see as well as hear the virtuosity of the playing. One noticeable exception to this is that I think I could have survived without seeing Chris Squire's skin-tight trousers and Dr. Martin boot combo. Anyway, seeing exactly how Steve Howe drives that pedal steel guitar is wonderful. One amusing point is that the pitch wheel shenanigans I referred to earlier are in fact John Anderson and not Tom Brislin at all. In fact, Anderson can be seen dipping into his box of tricks, electronic and analogue, a lot to add various different textures. I bet the young orchestra were all converted to the cause of Yes Music after this experience. It must have been fabulous to be a part of this musical extravaganza. So I think the key message from this is, if you're a true Yes fan, you must have a copy of the Symphonic Live DVD. If you haven't, get one now. So overall then, this turns out to be a very good value set of additions to the special edition. It's more of a promo for the DVD than anything else, but includes interesting material of great quality which enhances the main album. If, like me, you value and treasure this kind of rare Yes item just because it's rare, then you'll be even happier that it's worth having for the content as well. So that's about it for this week. Before I go, a word about the first Yes Music podcast competition. I'll be posting the first question on Monday the 11th of June, and then each day until I run out, or until everyone gets bored. There will be at least a whole week of questions to answer, and most likely more. I'll update on progress in next week's episode. To make it all fair, I will publish a link in each daily blog post to a Google form. This will have a space to answer each question as it is released. Please note that you need to put the same name in each time you answer a question, so I know which answers are yours. I'm sure I'm making it more complicated than it actually is, but please do take part, it should be fun. I know you're all keen to know what the prize will be, and as I've said before, this is much more about taking part than what the prize is. However, it will be a small Yes-related item, and the very generous @Trekkie001 on Twitter has offered to add something into the pot as well. You never know what will land on your mat if you win. Hopefully you will enjoy it, whatever it is. But in the meantime, please do get involved with the podcast by leaving a comment on the blog at www.yesmusicpodcast.com, by sending a tweet or direct message to @yesmusicpodcast on Twitter, by sending an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com, by uploading an audio file or recording a voice message via the buttons on the site, or finally by leaving a voicemail on 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.